Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague, hope your Wednesdays are going well. The college football playoff rankings came out last night. Now we wait for conference championship weekend, and we'll find out on Sunday officially who is going to make the college football playoff. Joining us now to talk about all of that, one of our favorites, Heather Dinich. Give her a follow on Twitter, at CFB Heather. She covers the college football playoff for ESPN. Heather, thanks as always for the time. I'll just start. I mean, I had a couple takeaways just kind of looking at the rankings and where teams fell, but I'm curious to pick your brain on that. You see the top six, you see the top eight. How they shake out? What are the first things that are going through your mind?
Well, I think it's boiling down to Utah, Oklahoma. That was the thing that jumped out at me, was who's going to get that number five spot. And while seeing Utah there doesn't guarantee anything by any stretch of the imagination, it is a slight lead, an important edge heading into those conference championship games.
Yeah, and that was kind of my thought, too. I thought it was big that they remained ahead of Oklahoma, despite Oklahoma, I thought, looking pretty good at Oklahoma State on Saturday night. But looking at it now, and Utah's got the weird edge of playing on Friday and then everybody else plays on Saturday, how important do you think style points are for the Utes going into that game? Because Baylor's going to be ranked higher. Oklahoma would have another win over a top 10 team and beating Baylor again. Like, how important do you think style points are for the Utes on Friday?
I think it's very significant, because style points are why Utah is sitting there right now ahead of Oklahoma. It's a very interesting conversation in that committee meeting room between eye test and resume, because that's what we're looking at. Utah does not have one win against a team currently ranked in the CFP top 25.
Yeah.
But the reason that they're there is because they're top 10 in offensive and defensive efficiency, and they have shown no signs of slowing down. They're just rolling through teams. And if they can do to Oregon what they did to Colorado, which was very impressive down the stretch, it took them a while to get going, but I think it was like 25 degrees outside.
Right.
You know, details. Then I do think that they can continue to keep that edge, because they've had the edge without any ranked opponents, right? But Oklahoma, like you mentioned, another top 10 opportunity against Baylor. But, again, it matters how they look. You can't go in there and have a 25-point deficit like they did earlier in the season
right,
and expect to finish in the top four.
Right. I think one of the great examples of this over the years is probably when Ohio State smoked Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game, right? And everybody was kind of wondering who's going to make it, and they just made such a statement. It's like, all right, well, we can't leave that team out. They just beat Wisconsin by like 800 points in their conference championship. We're talking with Heather Dinich. She covers the college football playoff for ESPN. Give her a follow on Twitter, at CFB Heather. And, you know, we have all these hypotheticals about Utah and Oklahoma and how they need to win and all that kind of stuff. The one interesting part about it is we are a Georgia win on Saturday away from none of this mattering, right? Because if Georgia wins, they're going to get in. What kind of ripple effect do you think that has in the college football world if Utah and Oklahoma both look good and win convincingly, yet are on the outside looking in because Georgia wins the SEC?
I think what that does is, well, first, it makes it very easy for the committee because it eliminates that debate, right?
Right.
But the other thing, though, is that it will call into question, again, the value of these conference championship games. What are they playing them for? If the loser gets in and winners don't get in, where are we with the whole point of these things? I mean, I talked to Jim Harbaugh this past spring about it, and he's like, it doesn't matter. These games don't matter to anybody except the SEC.
Right.
You know, and he was right, because we were talking about last year, Northwestern goes and beats Ohio State, nobody gets in. So what does it matter?
Right.
So it would be another question as to why are these games being played, with the exception obviously of the monetary value.
Yeah, that's such a good point. You know, I'm curious too, because we always talk about this, and fans get outraged about, you know, behind closed doors, how they come up with this. Are they moving the goalposts every week? Is the data that they use and the criteria that they use, is that like public knowledge of just exactly why they voted for each team and what are the metrics that they most look at?
The metrics that they most look at come from a company called Sports Source Analytics. You can find them on Twitter. You can follow them. They do provide information for other college football teams. It's one of those things where you got to pay them to get the information. They do a really good job, though, and there are certain trends that the committee, they all have team sheets, right? And they have looked back at research of past national champions to see what statistics best correlate with those. They don't necessarily have to use them, but okay. On those team sheets, they're shaded in gray. So they know that, okay, this in the past has been a really good indicator of those elite teams, right? So that's kind of a little snippet as to what they do, like what they use. But it's pretty much that system on those computer screens that they resort to the most.
Okay. You know, the other interesting part I think about this whole thing is out of nowhere 2 weeks ago, Baylor jumps up. They lose to Oklahoma, and that was a tough loss. I mean, they blew the lead, brutal for their fans and that team at home to go through that after feeling like they were going to run away with it. They beat Texas like 24-10, and they jump up five spots, including other teams that had won. And now you're sitting here. I mean, they're number, I believe, seven right behind, you know, Utah and Oklahoma. Where does Baylor fall into this whole thing? I feel like we almost just kind of skip over them and say, well, what about the Utah and Oklahoma debate? Where does Baylor fall into this?
Well, two things. One, if Utah loses and Baylor wins, I think they're in the college football playoff. But if Utah wins and Baylor wins, I think it's much more difficult for the Big 12 to unseat the Pac-12 at that point. And it's because of how the committee has judged Baylor to this point. Yes, they have made the quantum leap, but they have also continued to trail even Oklahoma in their own conference. And a lot of that has to do with the way they played and their non-conference schedule.
Right.
Defensively, Baylor's been outstanding, and if you take that season alone, it's a remarkable year for Baylor, right? But as far as the CFP goes, you can't beat TCU in three overtimes and two overtimes, what it was against Texas Tech, and really separate yourself
right.
In the eyes of the committee. So I think the best case scenario for the Big 12 is Oklahoma because of that.
Yeah, they win big, and Utah kind of squeaks one out maybe on Friday night. We're talking with Heather Dinnett. She covers the playoff for ESPN. Give her a follow on Twitter, @CFB. Heather, you had an ESPN employee today say that nobody wants to see Utah in the playoff. Nobody wants to see that happen. So I will ask Heather Dinnett, does Heather Dinnett want to see Utah? And then if they are able to get in, how do you think they stack up with Ohio State or LSU or Clemson?
Disclaimer, I don't know who said that, but it's funny because I can disagree with my colleague.
It's okay. It was Paul Feinbaum was the one that said it.
I figured he might be. I was going to say, I see Feinbaum on Sunday mornings up there in Bristol. So I have no problem with Utah because I think that they are a gritty team, and more importantly, they're out to prove it. I mean, they know what the perception is. They know that there are a lot of people who think like that because they haven't watched Utah play enough games. But when you see what they have done, particularly defensively up front, I think they could go toe-to-toe with a team like LSU. I really do. I would say that Utah might give LSU a better fight than Georgia will on Saturday.
Interesting. Well, and, you know, on the note, too, the conference championships not mattering outside of, just for the SEC, not for everybody else, all that kind of stuff. Looking at the rankings right now, and granted, this is, you put some asterisks by it, they can't lose by four touchdowns or, you know, look embarrassing the entire day. But if they're close back and forth games, and I'm not saying all of them are going to lose, but if LSU, we kind of know that they're going to get in kind of no matter what. But do you feel the same way about Ohio State or Clemson, that if somehow by a miracle they are to lose this weekend, they're still in the college football playoff?
Ohio State, yes. Clemson, no. I was on a podcast with Kevin Agandi today. He told me that that Reese Davis said that he thinks that Clemson can lose, and I had not heard Reese say that on SportsCenter, and I was taken aback by it. I was like, what? He said that. I said, I have to respectfully disagree with that because Clemson hasn't played anybody, and it goes back to the conversation about unequivocally one of the four best teams. If you don't win your conference title, you have to be, quote, unequivocally one of the four best.
Right.
And Rob Mullins told us that just on Saturday. We had him on Game Day Radio and asked him about that word, and he said that is a very high bar. And my question then is, how can you say that Clemson would fall under that category if they have no ranked wins, and the only time they lined up against a ranked opponent, they lost to a lousy Virginia team. That would be easily the worst loss of any Power Five conferences. So
yeah,
that was my Clemson rant. I was like, what?
Yeah, well, they're not getting it. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I feel that. And the committee's kind of held him down all year, even though Dabo Swinney, he says nobody appreciates Clemson, though.
It's funny because, you know, nobody probably does. Well, you could argue that Clemson is the best team in the country, but nobody knows because nobody's watching them because they're not playing anybody.
Right, that's so true. They're tucked away in these meaningless games. They haven't been in primetime, it feels like, all year because they haven't played anybody. I'll get you out on this one, Heather. I know it's going to be a busy weekend for you, and we're going to find out on Sunday, and next week's going to be crazy and start talking about all these matchups. So I don't know if we'll get you back on in the short term. I'll just ask, looking into the predictor for Heather Dinich, how do you think it shakes out this weekend, and who are the four teams that we find out Sunday morning?
Well, I kind of feel like I'll just go with my gut here and say it's Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, and then I'm going to give a nod to Utah in that fourth spot. But I'll tell you what, of all the things I don't know this weekend, I don't know if Utah is going to win that game because I think people forget Oregon is good.
Okay. Yeah, I think a lot of people are fooled by the way Oregon's played the last 2 weeks and that not looking good against ASU and Oregon State and just thinking that's who they are now. That would be the most Pac-12 thing of all time, though, is Oregon losing to ASU and then knocking out Utah. That's how we like to do things on the West Coast. Heather Dinich, give her a follow on Twitter, at CFB Heather. She covers the college football playoff for ESPN. We always appreciate the time, Heather. I know it's going to be a crazy weekend for you. Enjoy it, and hopefully we'll have you on again here soon.
Thank you so much.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.